from Stadium Swim at Circa. It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Sports Reno.
All right, Reno's in. This hour is brought to you by Battle Worn Injury Lawyers, Cabana 7, Stadium Swim, Circa Las Vegas. Hello to everyone up in the northern part of the state, Sparks, at sister property, or at least a Circa partner property at Legends Bay. Big Greg Salerno's in as the company today. It's Cofield. Sorry, bro. Sometimes we got to bring in bigger.
I know. I'm like medium Salerno now.
Well, don't get crazy.
That's my job.
Yeah, yeah. We, Lady Viernes is here with us, the crazy Hawaiian, great slap fighter. We're going to get into slap fighting. I was talking earlier today. This is kind of a big fella show. We have another partner who's also like a 300-pounder, and I was like, today we will go, I think, over like 1,100 pounds. So we are, as I always say, we are the highest weighted show in the country. How about that? Don't steal that, Greg.
I was going to say, damn it. No, I don't know.
Put your mitts up against.
All right, let's see.
The crazy Hawaiian.
I got every size.
You got bigger hands
than me.
Well, he doesn't have the beef.
No. I would not want to get smacked with those hands. No. They look like bricks.
And then you got to look at the base of the hand, which you're really not supposed to use officially, but you guys use it.
But it's the whole hand.
Yes.
So, you know what I mean? We're using the whole thing. So it's a dad bod sport.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? come on off the couch.
I was ready for you. I was watching your last fight, and I want to break it down a little bit, but the replays are some of the best thing, like when you collapse a guy and he falls. But also they do a lot of replays for the form. And you hit that dude. He also a Hawaiian guy, right?
Yeah.
About 385 pounds.
Same hometown, Hawaii.
You hit him. You went through. And I was like, that was a good slap. But I don't think he really, like, nailed him because it came through real quick. And then they showed the replay. And it was, like, me to the palm, like, right on the button.
On the button.
And you rocked him. He didn't go down, though.
Yeah. He didn't. I rocked him. And you know, it was my turn. Mine didn't get hit. So we're out here just slapping each other around for I don't know what for.
A little bit of money, right? Prize fighting.
Prize fighting, maybe.
What is it like? Well, one, there's a, you have to, you guys do a coin flip, right, for first shot.
Slap. It's done by the commission.
And that can make the fight.
Yeah, that can make him break the fight.
Yep.
Do you ever defer, like in the NFL, where they let them go first?
No. An idiot. I don't know. Who was okay with that? I mean, you got to have some major confidence to do that.
What's it like? So let's go on offense, right? You slap someone, and they survive. Like, what are you thinking? What do you have to kind of get going mentally? Because you know you're next.
I'm really a comedian in myself. So I really try not to make myself laugh, but I'm over there telling myself, whoa, it's your turn. All right, I might get knocked out. Oh, damn, this is it. I might get knocked out. Here we go. He's one, two, boom. And I'm like, they're just as surprised as everyone else that I didn't get knocked out.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's just a mind game thing, I think.
How's your chin? You feel like you got a really good chin?
I really think it's not even about the chin. I think it's about the neck.
Yeah.
How strong your neck is.
Well, your neck looks very strong. I mean,
he's got the beard, too, like a real
beard. Yeah,
right. Talk about the beard. I have a good beard when I get punched. He has a real beard.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, I trim it on the sides, but people think it's for help. And I just, it's for my Harley.
Okay.
One on each shoulder, you know what I mean? In the wind, you know, being happy.
Fight's coming up tomorrow, right?
Tomorrow.
So this, to me, this is the one of the many fascinating things about slap fighting and the crazy Hawaiian is the main event fighter, super heavyweight, 380-plus pounds. Like, the day before a fight for a boxer or UFC guy is completely different. They may have cut weight. Now it's time to rehydrate. Like, what do you do before the day of the fight?
I mean, I just eat in front of the guys that have to cut weight.
Yes. Super heavyweight.
Yeah. I'm like, they're suffering. They just are trying to – I need to weigh in already. I'm like, you want a bite? You know? So, you know, I just enjoy myself. I'm enjoying myself. I'm going to defend my belt a few times. And then I'm going to start making my weight down to heavyweight.
What's heavyweight limit?
265.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
No, I know what the limit is, but 265. Really?
I might have to do some extra stuff, but, you know.
Oh, really? For 120 pounds?
Yeah. hit that Ozempic for a couple months, yeah, man. You'll be a heavyweight
just
all of a sudden.
Just a couple shots.
What have you, Greg, what have you lost?
I lost 80 pounds so far.
On the Zemp?
Yeah, on the Zemp.
You got to go down 120 to get to 265? That's crazy.
I got a supply for that, but. If you're out there, let me know.
So you really, like, you don't have, like, a special diet day before? Like, there's no worries about being, you know, I don't know, if you go and get, you know, eat 50 pounds of spaghetti and then you're all sluggish or something.
It's I kind of just go by feel. I drink a lot more water and make sure that I'm very hydrated the day of. And I play it by how my body feels. If I feel hungry or whatever it is, I'm just going to go ahead and take it easy.
What do you like to eat?
Hawaiian food.
Yeah.
Hawaiian food. I mean, Korean food, Hawaiian food.
All right.
All of the foods. I'm not allergic to nothing. So.
What's your ethnic background? Because no one's like just Hawaiian. You're not.
So I'm Filipino, Hawaiian, and 1% Samoan.
I was going to say, because I was talking to Greg earlier, I have like this fascination. You know, you watch football and you see all these big Polys and Samoan guys and then fighting, and I'm always like, the freaking legs on these guys.
Oh, dude, yeah.
That's probably part of the support for, you know, not going down is your base, too, not only your neck.
Yeah, I don't even really lift weights, but I squatted like 800 pounds on accident.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, on accident.
Yeah.
I was like, let me see how heavy this thing is. Whoop. I'm like, okay, let me do it twice. So I did like three times.
Wow.
Fight cards at Fountain Blue tomorrow. You can also watch it on Rumble. But locally, try to go out to the fight card. It's Power Slap 8. The Crazy Hawaiian is in the main event, super heavyweight. How big is your opponent? How much does he weigh?
He's about 380.
Okay.
He's a big boy.
All right.
South African.
He's a big boy.
Danny Van Heerden. Live and free on Rumble, baby.
Yeah, you can watch it on Rumble. All right, let's go back to the origins. Like, how do you get into this?
Honestly, I've been watching guys on YouTube like Vasily Komatsky, the Dumpling, do their thing. Bully smaller guys. Hit them, they just completely die. I thought that was unfair. I told myself, I'm going to be the bully of the bullies. So now we got Vasily here on this card. I don't know how they got him, but they got him.
So explain who he is, because I don't know his background. He was kind of like
Russian guys that did it at these big shows.
Really?
To take his shirt off, go up against a bunch of small guys. His name is Vasily Komatsky, the Dumpling. And they finally got him, and his credentials exceed mine. So this is like a legacy thing. I wish him all the best. I want him to win all these fights so he can come up against me.
How big is he?
He's about the same.
Oh, he is?
Yeah. We got big boys on this.
I was going to say, geez, how many freaking athletic 375, 380-pound guys are there?
Not a lot because I look at them. They can't even touch the – you know, I can palm the bottom of my feet, you know. Like, I'm a 400-pounder. So,
Greg, you want to do that? Let's see your flexibility.
Can you do it? The bottom of my feet?
Even, like, at least put your fingers on the ground.
Well, yeah, of course. I can actually –
you're sitting! That's not – He didn't mean sitting.
Hold on,
up.
I'll do it right
Please
now.
Please don't take down all the equipment. About it. That was a bad request.
All right, it's all right. All right, I'm
going to
do it right
Look.
You mean like put my palm on the ground?
Try something. I just want to see the flexibility. I don't know. We're going to have to do it out in the open. I feel like you're bending.
Hi, man. I'm flexible. I'm telling you. Here.
You are, for a big fella, you are a surprisingly good athlete. Oh, jeez. Now, let's see when he gets up if he's like... I like it, though.
I think I just pulled a hamstring, but...
Our show is very big on don't judge a book by its cover.
Yeah, I don't.
Big fellas can be athletic.
Yeah.
Can play all sports. Some can.
It's a dad bod sport, for real. If you didn't make it in anything else, come on down. You might make it in Power Slap. You never know.
I don't know, man.
I got to ask you, though, because you got an awesome grill. You know you wear that in a fight, right? I mean...
No, this is... I remove it for the fight. This is strictly just to... Say hi to people.
The fight's on Rumble tomorrow. It's also with Fountain Blue in town. You can watch it on Rumble. Get out to Fountain Blue. One out, right? It is a 6 o'clock Pacific start for the card, and the Crazy Hawaiian is here with us. He's a super heavyweight. He's up at 385 pounds. Just had a monster knockout in the last fight. You don't live in Hawaii now, though.
No, I live in Springfield, Missouri, in the Midwest. All the way over there in the Bible Belt.
Hawaiian food? Korean food.
Yeah.
Really? Where do you get it? Can you get
it there? I make it myself.
How you do?
Oh, yeah.
There's got to be a Hawaiian food.
My cousin just moved out. Okay. She's selling plates out there, Hawaiian food. So we got some stuff cooking over there in the Midwest.
Nice. How big's your family?
Big. My mom has over 40 grandchildren.
What?
I'm one of 11.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
wow.
it's a big thing, you know. Like my younger brother is actually the Hawaii slap champion.
Oh really?
And then I got my other brother over here, the number one seed. He's kind of the gatekeeper for the belt.
Did you ever like you know, smack people around before this? They'd be like, oh, wow, I'm really good at this. Like, just start smacking as we do some high around our bar or something? Or?
Yeah, I used to work at I used to work as a bouncer over here in Vegas.
Okay.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Can you mention where, or you want to keep that quiet?
Let's just say
strip club?
Maybe.
Well, it's our like world. I wanted to feel comfortable.
Gold Spike?
Yeah, of course.
Gold Spike over here in Fremont.
Sure.
You know, I remember my brother saying to me to slap somebody, and I did. I slapped him. And he knocked out, and I was like, man, maybe I can do this.
Dude, that's because that's such an unusual move for a bouncer. Because generally they're going to grab you, you know,
throw
pick
you
up.
Yeah.
I mean, a slap in the face, not only does it hurt when it's coming from you, but it's kind of disrespectful.
Yeah, it's way especially if you get knocked out by a slap.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what I mean? And I wanted to ask this. Matteo asked this actually off air beforehand. I don't know the rules, but you cannot backhand somebody, right? If you want to,
don't think you want to, right?
I don't think you can. I think that's illegal.
Okay.
By the way, your last fight, you did righty first.
Yeah.
Then you threw your left.
Yeah. My left, I've always been able, you know, in a street fight or whatever, boxing, my left is always kind of sneaky and deadly. And no one has ever let me slap them clean with my left.
When you're on defense, what do you like better? One, boom, or the buildup? When you're on defense? Like, is it more jarring when it's, like, right out of the gates?
As long as I know when they're going to hit me, I kind of psych myself out for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know what you mean.
If they come up.
I've been punched in the face, but no one said, like, one, two. There was just, like, a good punch right in the head.
I think
at a bar.
It's easier if you go on three. It's more anticipation. You know how the swing looks. I go on one.
Wow. Now, is it on, like, a lethal weapon that's, like, on three, or is it, like, three and then go? Like, when they clip the wire for the bomb?
No, you'll see them.
It's on three. One, two,
and then three. Bam!
Yep.
And then you're not allowed to flinch, which is what, kind of lean in?
Lean in, go with it, or move at all.
Or move away from it.
Oh, wow.
There actually are a lot of rules. Yeah. And then I haven't asked slap fighting. I haven't asked Dana White. We're good buddies. I think being a catcher, is that what they call? What do they call them? Is that what they call them?
Lifesavers.
Lifesaver. Now, with you, I forget. I want to do the lower divisions. Greg, you got to watch it.
Yeah, I will.
Because in the last fight, it's 385 against 385, and there's three guys behind, and they're like, getting ready for these guys. Because you don't want a guy to fall back his head.
We got guys like Forrest Griffin, so, you know.
Forrest is hilarious when you watch
hilarious.
His face.
Yeah,
like
sure.
He wants to save the fight.
Yeah,
exactly.
He's over there fanboying so hard.
And he's been in there at the highest level. So we got a minute left. Tell everyone again where they can watch it, where it's at, and your fight.
Live and free on Rumble. It's going to be at the Fontainebleau tomorrow night, June 28th. And, you know, go ahead and put us in a parlay, me and my brother. We got a bonus. You put me and my brother in a parlay, we got a bonus. But live and free on Rumble, Fontainebleau. Power Slap 8, baby.
There he is.
I'm rooting for you, man.
Hell yeah.
The crazy Hawaiian, he's got the whole family that's into slap fighting. Again, the card is tomorrow. Get over to, as you said, the Fontainebleau. Say it the right way, right? Power Slap 8. It's on Rumble as well if you can't get out to the live fight. And by the way, this is all part of a massive weekend.
Yes.
With International
Absolutely.
Fight Week. There's fighters all over the place.
And we're making history.
We're so glad you came out here. I'm thrilled to have met you. Because we had a good buddy who covers you guys all the time. And he's like, Lane's really cool. His family's really cool. So it's a good story, man. I hope you make a lot of money and have a lot of success in this.
Yeah, I manifested this ESPN stuff with my brother years ago. I told him, I just want to be on ESPN.
Well, you're on.
Here we go, baby.
More TV exposure.
Let's go.
We'll come back. Live Cofield and Company Stadium Swim.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Yeah, I was just telling Salerno, we just had the crazy Hawaiian on. By the way, he's got like 80 brothers who are all the same size.
Yeah.
They're all gigantic. He's like 6'1", 6'2", 385. He's going to be in the slap fighting 8 tomorrow and over at Fontainebleau. By the way, you can bet one of the only places, might be the only place in town, you can bet slap fighting here at Circa Sports. So I'll get the odds for the main event with the crazy Hawaiian. But I was telling you, you've done a lot of live radio.
Sure.
Gentlemen's clubs?
Yes.
So, I mean, we used to – I know I'm sounding, like, very braggart of late because the other day you were like, man, How many people have you worked with over the years? Because that's plenty of different people I know. And what, yeah. I really know them. And then when they're all outraged, I'm like, dude, come on. Sure. I knew you when you were like 25. There's no doubt in my mind, and maybe there's a podcast now that's broken the record, that this show in different iterations has done more shows from Gentlemen's Club. Yay, the pride. than any other sports talk show in the country.
Yeah, I would say.
Because we had a regular day. So, I mean, we did years of, like, 50 shows at different – at actually one club, and then we'd have a second day of the week.
Yeah.
Anyway, long story short, there was always this dangerous element because you'd have a salesperson like, yeah, put a dancer on. I'm like, bruh.
Right.
Like, I like watching them. They're cool to talk to off the air, but, like, FCC, you know. Like, I don't need J.J. Redick as a stripper.
Yeah.
You know, setting the curse record on Cofield and Company.
Yeah, so we had a girl
come
on. I was
really glad that Lane got through that. I don't even know if he's a bad language guy. So
I don't either. I don't think he is, by judging by what he was. Because I don't think he knew that he wasn't supposed to curse. So I don't know. Man, you know Ooh. What? He did say Ooh. He was planning on being on ESPN, though, for a long time. So he probably knows you can't curse on ESPN.
Yeah, he actually, just so you know, when he first came in, I was talking to him. And he's like, you mother, and cursed at me. He's like, Bronny to the Celtics? I thought he went. I'm kidding. He didn't say that.
Oh.
But I did report early in the show because I got duped on
Steve
Wiki.
Got smacked.
I was going crazy about it. Like, Celtics took him at 54 right before the lake. What a storyline. I looked down. I'm like, nope, that was wrong.
Yeah, you got me too because I was
bad.
All excited.
Like,
this is perfect. Couldn't have been any better.
Wait, there's a trade. Nope.
And then I see Bronny's name next to the Lakers.
And then you guys are watching the TV.
And I'm like kind of confused. But Mateo's pointing. I'm confused. Like, does Steve not know? I don't understand. Is he doing this on purpose?
No, it wasn't a bit. It wasn't. I got duped. I got duped real badly. We're going to talk to Arash. In a couple of minutes, our L.A., Mr. Vegas, he's generally in town for big events. Do you ever get answers like this on text? I don't know if you're a big texter, but I texted Arash earlier. And by the way, we're hanging out here at Stadium Swim. Nice breeze, about 103. I get a – where's this text? Anyway, I texted him something to the effect of, I'm like, are you in L.A. or in Vegas? The answer is yes. Okay.
I think maybe he's saying the last thing you said.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, Vegas.
But who answers like that?
Nobody. Arash.
Let's see. Where are you? Here, L.A.? Yes.
He probably didn't. He probably thought the L.A. was like a typo or something and just thought you meant, are you here in Vegas?
So he read it as, where are you? Here, La.
Well, Las Vegas, because there's no S on the end.
Okay.
Maybe. Well, I'm just trying to.
When we bring him on, this is a fascinating topic, yeah. Along with your multiverse conversation, which I think Arash is smart enough to handle. That's what screwed me up on the Bronny thing. I got all discombobulated.
Maybe that's what it was.
You threw this multiverse thing
at
me.
Well, no, in a different universe, the Celtics took Bronny James. So that's what happened.
I bought into it.
Yeah.
I bought into it hook, line, and sinker. Mm-hmm. You going to watch the slap fighting?
Yes.
Will you?
Yeah. You know what? Now that
you've seen it. I mean, it is all over TikTok. It is actually built for the internet, even more than the live event.
I don't watch a lot of TV, so I'm just being honest up front.
That's a good point.
So I watch a lot of sports, though, so I probably will. And now that I've met him, you know, the crazy Hawaiian, I thought he was a really cool guy, and I'm rooting for him, so I will watch, bro.
It happens to all of us. You know, embarrassing moments, you gaff.
Oh,
it happens.
Me?
Yeah.
10 times a day.
I've had it happen a couple times. And then there's flashing knowledge and hot takes where you're like, wow, I was wrong. There's a video that's been circulating,
yeah.
Especially on the heels of the Knicks trading for Mikal Bridges the other day, and now they've got another Villanova player on their roster.
Uh-huh.
Stephen A. Smith, when he was doing the Embrace debate show with Skip Bayless, and I try to warn people, and I think people know, Stephen A. is so stretched thin, and even as a primarily NBA guy, they don't watch college basketball.
Right.
They don't. It's just there's no time for it. They don't. So I was found watching guys from the NBA try to break down the draft and give takes on college players. I'm like, this is stupid.
Well, they rely on the producers a lot for that kind of stuff.
But what if you don't get good messaging?
No, you're right. Yeah. Like if Steve tells you the wrong guy was drafted or something, how are you supposed to know?
Yep. Until we correct it. Yeah. And by the way, we could have gone the entire show. I don't think you guys would have corrected it. You would have looked at your phone. No, you did. You kind of did. As soon as you started pointing at the TV, I had realized. I'm like, oh, no. Anyway, Stephen A. Smith back in 2016 talking about the Villanova basketball team saying, quote, Villanova doesn't have any real NBA prospects on the squad. Skip Bayless in the background off camera. Nope, they don't. Mm-hmm. 2016 Villanova team. Jalen Brunson, Mikal Bridges, Josh Hart, Dante DiVincenzo, Eric Pascal, Ryan Archie Diacono, and Danny Otefu. Got seven guys right now in the NBA.
Oops. I think you could do that with every episode, though, probably, right?
I think you could do that with a lot of us.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
I've got great takes going back. There was a year where George Mason got in the NCAA tournament at the end of the field, and I'm like, this is unbelievable. How are they in the field? 3 weeks later, Final Four. I'm like, I guess they deserve to be there.
That was a big Jalen Rager guy coming out of TCU, bought a jersey when he came to the Eagles and everything. Lasted about
really?
Three snaps.
Yeah. I know. NFL bad takes are plentiful.
Yes.
Because you just don't know.
Yeah.
The teams don't know.
That's true. It's a crapshoot.
Right?
Yeah.
That was a wide receiver draft that was loaded, but not at the beginning with Henry Ruggs, who turned out to be a freaking moron.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know how long.
Well, talent-wise, though, I don't think it was a bad pick. They just didn't know he was going to be a complete.
I think he was showing some signs. I still don't know that he was going to be anything beyond, like, a 40-catch, you know, say, 700-yard guy with a high average with 8 touchdowns, which is good, but guess what?
For that kind
of
price.
It ain't Jefferson, is it?
No, it's not.
And it's not CeeDee Lamb who went after him.
No. And Howie is.
Thank God it's, I mean, Jerry Jeudy, we'll see.
Yeah.
They extended him. I thought the Browns were way too fired up about Jerry Jeudy. There's some weird character signs with that guy. So maybe he'll turn out. Or he'll just piss and moan that Deshaun Watson is no good.
Yeah. You don't really know
and fight with local media members and fight with former Browns, which is what he did in Denver.
But how do you know guys, until you really know the guy, how do you know their personalities until you really see them on the field and how they react to certain situations, you know? You can interview a guy and ask him, but you're not going to know until it really happens.
What you rely on is your scouting department. But the most important thing is, and college coaches' reputations are set on this in a lot of ways.
Right.
The college coach or the position coach or the staff, they got to tell you. Like, you don't want them to be like, you know, freaking shiv the guy.
Right.
But they got to be honest, like, hey, we're just going to warn you. Hey, he's got some, you know, motivational things. He breaks a little bit under pressure. You're going to have to work with that.
Then you run the risk of saying things that aren't true, and then the guy has to go prove himself, and other guys don't, you know. I don't know.
I was going to say, you think college coaches would tank a guy on purpose? Like, they probably would.
So
we got a weird story, you know, as we're talking about talent evaluation and trying to nail the right picks. We got a weird story coming out about one of the Utah Jazz picks. I got to read. I don't want to get caught with Bronny to the Celtics situation again. But Kyle Filipowski at a Duke, there is some weird story going around that he landed with the Jazz because, and don't take my word, this is the story out there that he's in a relationship. I don't think he grew up Mormon. I think he's going to convert. And then the story beyond that is that maybe he didn't give his all in the interviews with teams because he was trying in a different way, Rich Paul and Bronny, he was trying to land somewhere. So he dissuaded people. People have concocted this whole story, so I guess we're going to find out in the next couple of days.
It sounds like a stretch, though, because that's, like, so risky. You don't even – I mean, there's no way
that – he was – in a lot of places, he was projected as a first rounder.
Yeah.
And he was one of those guys overnight, this whole, you know, hype up the second round. They're like, really?
Yeah.
Like, 7-foot guy who's, you know, mobile, can be stretched, can probably defend on the perimeter a little bit, is pretty athletic, got to toughen up, but didn't go in the first round, huh? Okay. Maybe there's something else behind this.
But, I mean, do you think it's that, though? Isn't there probably something else maybe we just don't know yet?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But it'd be a hell of a story. And then I heard the word grooming,
which
has now become this pop culture word.
It's one of those words that you don't want stuck to you at all.
No. But I've never heard it about – well, I guess I have. I haven't heard it.
A bug crawling next to you over there. I'm sorry. I don't know if you're scared of bugs. I am.
No.
So.
I haven't heard it. Oh, my God. I don't know. I haven't heard it about a female.
Yeah. I don't – oh.
Like that it was the female who was his relationship or whatever she is, fiance, wife, was a big part of maybe him converting and moving in a different direction. And I don't know.
Yeah, that's a convoluted story, man. I don't know.
Did Kelly Stafford and her latest whatever apology, had she groomed Matthew Stafford over the years to be a meek individual?
and just
allow her to go on podcast and smear his name and embarrass him?
And now she tried to apologize? And it's like the worst apology ever because she apologized to the guy.
Yeah, I was like, what? What did she say to Matt Stafford to apologize? Oh, it wasn't a Stafford. It wasn't a husband. It wasn't a Matt.
She apologized to a guy because she said it wasn't him. Yeah. That was the guy she slept with or whatever.
Kelly Stafford issues apology to Matt Stafford's former Georgia backup, Joe Cox, and his family after the video of her claiming she had a relationship with a backup at Georgia to make Matt jealous went viral. Kelly Stafford has come out and said, yeah, he wasn't the person. But I guess there was a person that I did doink and fooled Matt.
Right.
And I'm not sorry about that.
Exactly. I don't apologize to my husband. By the way, who's Matt Stafford's current backup?
I know. You know who it is?
Yeah, it's Jimmy
Well,
Garoppolo.
I mean, active at the beginning of the season might – it's probably – will it? Probably be Stetson Bennett, the little guy to Georgia.
I was thinking of Jimmy Garoppolo.
I know you are. But she might be like, I got to get Stetson while he's number two.
Yeah.
And then the incredibly handsome Jimmy G.
She'll be apologizing to Jimmy Garoppolo in a few weeks now.
I wish I could do the buffer voice. And that's like that sounds like an old school wrestling guy.
Yeah.
An old school Jimmy G. Handsome Jimmy.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas.
Your choice. We can do these now or later. Some baseball or some more follow-up on Kyle Filipowski and why he slid the draft and rumors, because now I've seen the source of this.
Well, the baseball is going to piss me off, so let's start with the other one, I guess.
Okay, so we were just talking about Kyle Filipowski slipping in the draft, Duke player, wound up going... He was projected by many to be a first-round pick, slips into the second round. Overnight, he was on top of most people's boards saying, hey, you know what? Really good value here on day number two. So the big out of Duke winds up slipping to the Jazz. His workouts were a little weird. According to Jonathan Givony, who's an ESPN draft dude, he was on the Zach Lowe podcast talking about this. He said, I was shocked that Filipowski invited to the green room, still sitting there, waiting to hear his name called. I got to think the Raptors need to look at him hard at 31. Guy 7 feet tall, can dribble, can pass, can shoot. Not a bad defender, competitive. He said, you know, people told me the workouts weren't great. Question marks about those interviews. Club said he was nervous. He didn't make his shots at the pro days or the pro day. What's going on with his girlfriend? He then suggests it's all nonsense. I mean, it's hard to find a 7-footer like Kyle Filipowski. All right, so somebody needs to draft him early in the second round. They started talking about his girlfriend. He's got an older girlfriend. She's like 25 or 26, and people are like, this is weird. He doesn't talk to his parents. I guess he's changed over time with the girlfriend. Other tweets about Kyle Filipowski's brother and mom are on Twitter revealing how his girlfriend groomed him into Mormon culture and cut him off from his family, and now he ends up with the Utah Jazz. Again, this is all developing. It's rumor mill stuff. We don't know what's happening.
But it's
been a weird buzz today.
Yeah. That's very odd. I mean, I guess it kind of makes sense. If you think about it, and a family usually knows too. Like if somebody in the family is dating somebody who, you know,
you had an uneasy feeling about, all of a sudden your son or your daughter, like they're not talking to us, they remove themselves. It's weird, right?
But how would he know that they were going to take him though? Like I guess
they don't.
Yeah,
he doesn't. There's no way he could orchestrate it that much.
Right.
I think people are just making a connection, and I have no idea the Mormon angle. I will have to. Someone will confirm that at some point. Who knows? So, we've been talking about TV. You are a guy who lives a glamorous life. You live in a hotel.
Yes.
But I don't know that you have access to every package. I got to tell you, Peacock has a thing on the 90 Yankees. It's Bronx Zoo 2.
Oh.
Bro, it will blow you away, and I don't want to spoil it for the audience. I started talking about this yesterday to Danny Smythe. The Yankees that year had Luis Polonia, who got involved and had allegations of having sex with a 15-year-old in the Dominican. They needed to go get an outfielder. So they go and get former Cleveland Indian and Cub Mel Hull. And then I'm just going to tell you without telling you the whole thing, Mel Hull got embroiled, involved in a real weird relationship that was incredibly public to at least people around the Yankees. Sure. I don't remember this getting out. I was 20 years old at the time. But when you watch it, you'll be like, how? What?
Yeah.
It's insane, man.
I remember the first part with the 15-year-old girl and all that stuff. I don't remember Bologna? The second part. Yeah, Bologna.
Then they bring in Mel Hull, and they're like, oh, my God, we didn't vet this guy. What's happening here? And I'm not going to ruin it. You got to watch
it. Yeah, I'm going to. I was 13 at the time, so this is all going to be new to me, what I see on this.
Oh, and anyone out there was a Yankee fan, followed the Yankees, and you're, you know, you say you're older than me, and you're like, oh, I knew that team from top to bottom. No, you did not. You need to watch this.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Big news of the day. LeBron's son, Bronny James, goes to L.A., Lakers. We'll get to Arash Markazi here in just a second. He's our L.A., Mr. L.A., Mr. Vegas, Mr. Sandwiches all over the country. Update. Ace is up by 9 on the sky, on the road, early start. It's 44-35. Angel Reese, 27 points, 21 rebounds, Greg.
What?
I made that up.
Oh. Jeez.
She's got 4 points, 5 rebounds. That's it. I'm sure she'll finish with a double-double. I'm confident in that.
I'm sure.
I'm sure she's shutting down Asia Wilson. Nope, not even close. She's got 22. Damn it, nothing's working out. Arash is in. What's up, Arash?
Not much. How are you?
I'm good, man. You're very calm. You're very calm. I asked you a question on text earlier today. I said, are you here or you're in L.A.? And you answered yes.
Oh, did I? Well, I've kind of just been in this big blur where I was in Hawaii, then Portland, now in Vegas. I'm actually at the Fountain Blue, our favorite hotel, for the NHL Awards. So I know.
Here we go. So you hear Arash is like, I know. Arash, do you want to explain to Greg and any of the audience that didn't hear you and I go back and forth on the Fountain Blue and your initial thoughts on the property? Since you are a Nathana who lives on the north end of the strip, this is very important to you. What were your initial impressions of the Fountain Blue?
Well, my initial impressions when it first opened was that it did not recognize where it was located on the north end of the strip in terms of it having prices that were more conducive to South Beach or in the heart of the resort corridor in Las Vegas. So that was not the case. I will say that they have smartened up by talking to a few people here in terms of the prices, in terms of the resort rates, the nightly rates, and things like that.
The nachos. Because there was a nacho gate there.
Yeah, I mean, that thing went viral where it was, what, 6 tortilla chips, and it was, you know, it was ridiculous.
but you know what I said at the time? First of all, I'm very pro-Vegas. Arash is really Mr. Vegas, though. But let's give him a little bit of time to learn. And you just mentioned it. They're courting more events, so they're getting more attention. NHL is there. We just talked to a Power Slap dude. I know you love Power Slap. They're going to have that on Friday at Fountain Blue. So they're getting a little traction, my friend.
No, listen, and I'm happy for them. I think people kind of think it the wrong way. I mean, obviously, it was tough love. I mean, I saw what happened to some of the other properties that have opened on the north end of the strip. But you really have to realize the north end is tough. There's, no foot traffic. So you have to do a little bit more than the other locations. They didn't do that when they first opened. You know, now, fast forward however many months, it does seem like they have learned. To your point, they've attracted some events. The awards tonight, Power Slap tomorrow, so I am happy for them.
Arash, we saw earlier that the Lakers have selected Bronny James at 55 in the second round. Tell us a little bit, what does that mean for L.A.? Obviously from a PR standpoint, it's cool, but what do you think? What do you think of this?
You know, I mean, it was the worst-kept secret in sports. I mean, that it was very clear that Bronny James was just going to USC for 1 year, and he was going to go into the draft. And listen, though, you know, the plan that LeBron James had in place was that his goal was one day to be teammates with his son. Now, he kind of backed away from that for a little bit, but to be honest, that was always his goal. So now that happens with the Los Angeles Lakers. You know, here's the thing, you know, we're talking to draft people, I mean, people who actually scout prospects. They said if, you know, if you kind of took away all of the whole, you know, LeBron James stuff, I mean, this, in their view, was a top 60, top 65 prospect in terms of his intangibles and things like that. So, I mean, at the end of the day, we're talking about pick number 55. It is one of the last picks in the draft. And if most people follow the league, realize pick 55, you're talking about a guy who may or may not make the team, probably playing in the G League, probably on a two-way contract. Obviously, that's not going to be the case with Bronny James. But I mean, my bigger concern was if he was going to be the first-round pick. He was not the first-round pick. Pick 55 with him, I have no problem with that.
So I'm going to go glass overflowing on the Lakers draft from this standpoint. There were people that thought Rich Paul might force the organization to take Bronny at 17. It's good that they're working together, and they got a player of pretty good value, a guy who was definitely a top-five college player this past year in Dalton Connect, and they still got Bronny, and they got him at a value spot at 55. I'm going to put you to the test, Arash, and then Greg is next. Greg's going to have a chance to think about this. Give me a player comparison to Dalton Connect, but it cannot be an Austin Reeves type, if you know what I'm getting at. I don't want white-to-white.
Well, why not? I was going to say Wally Zerbiak. Like, don't! I mean, I'm not, like this isn't just because he's white. I mean, like, the way that he plays the game, you know. So, I mean, listen, a lot of Laker fans are doing the whole, like, Caruso, Reeves, no connection. Listen, he's a very good player. And to your point, this was a guy that was projected to be the sixth overall pick in the draft. I mean, the fact that he apparently really dropped down because he's 23 years old, no harm in that. That makes no sense to me. So I love that pick. And to your point, they get a guy who was projected to be the sixth overall pick with his 17th pick. They get a guy who was projected to be, you know, maybe let's just say like the 55th or 60th pick with the 55th pick. I mean, like, this was a very good draft for them. And Bronny, whether he pans out or not, listen, he's just going to make the team, obviously. But we should really not try to, and again, this is impossible, and we're not going to do it because it's LeBron James' son, but we're talking about the 55th pick in the draft and the 12th man on the team. Like, the success of this team will not be dependent on that.
Greg, that was a good long answer by Arash. He bought you time. Dalton Connect, 6'5", 6'6", wing skills, good athlete. Come on now.
I'm going to go Birdman. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to say...
By the way, I love when people do that. Like, Mark Price. Yeah, Mark Price was 6 foot tall. Stop. Okay,
maybe.
You want me to help you?
No, it's fine. Okay, I'm just
you're an NBA guy.
I know. I just don't want... I'm a little bit embarrassed by this comparison, but I think maybe Paul George a little bit.
Okay. I don't think that's outrageous. I'm going to go Elgin Baylor. I'm kidding.
Wow.
I was trying to think of Lakers, but I don't know. Let's say upside. By the way, this would be incredible upside result. Michael Cooper, or a little shorter than, say, like Aced Sabalos.
Yeah. No, I think he's a great offensive player, though. He's a very underrated offensive player.
And they need people who can shoot, who can attack, help from the wing. So that's a good deal. And now, Arash, now the rumor reel begins, because I've seen so many players connected to the Lakers, and it could be like, as high as someone, you know, making like $40 million a year to veterans. I think this one's absurd unless he is taking a massive haircut and working for nothing. Do you want Chris Paul on the Lakers roster?
You know what? At a fair price. So, like, to your point, like what is the market value for Chris Paul at this point in his career? I mean, the other thing for Chris Paul, like, I don't know what he's made during the duration of his career, but, like, at this point in his life, I'm assuming he wants to be back in Los Angeles because he really loved it there. I'm assuming he wants to chase another ring. He wants to be teammates with his friend LeBron James. Like, you know, again, I don't know what's out there in terms of big time contract. I don't think that that's there, but I do view this as, you know, somewhere where he's going to be happy personally, professionally. I mean, I would love to see that. I would love to see that because I do think that, you know, with Chris Paul, now you're talking about a really good contending team now. Like, is this good enough to beat Denver? I don't know. Are they good enough to beat the Celtics? Probably not. But at least that puts them in the conversation.
Arash Mirkazi, we're talking to you here. Arash, I want to ask you, because this might be a kind of a casual take, but why don't the Lakers just go do it? Like, why don't they go get a third guy, no matter what it takes? I mean, you've got LeBron, you've got AD. I know they're not in a great position with, you know, picks and having, you know, a lot of ammo, but just do what it takes and get the guy, and then the rest of the team could just be anybody.
Yeah, I mean, listen, so, I mean, that's what they did a couple of years ago when they traded for Russell Westbrook. I mean, obviously, they would have to do a trade here because there's no cap room just to go sign a big-name player. So, yeah, listen, I mean, so, like, you're either going to go one or two routes. Either going to get a player who's a superstar who's at the end of their career, like the Chris Paul, or you're going to put together a package of draft picks and some of your younger players and try to get a star. They could do that. That really didn't work out for them. I'd rather than have a more solid core group, deep team around them. I really like this team on paper. Now, I don't think Ham was the right coach for them, and I don't think he put them in positions to succeed. But I think that this group, with some tweaking, and again, whether that's Chris Paul, whether that's something else, this team can still contend.
Arash is with us. Last couple minutes. Of course, Arash, the CEO of the Sporting Tribune, at Sporting Trib, up on Twitter. I have actually thought of just – I love the WNBA so much and the Caitlin Clark beat. I've thought of just moving to Indy for the rest of the season and doing the show. Wait. Did you hire – who is Scott Agnes? The way I'm reading this, is he based in Indy? Did you guys hire someone to cover Caitlin Clark? What's going on here?
Yeah, so Scott's a good friend of mine. He used to work at The Athletic, and now he does his own thing on Substack. He's killing it, by the way. So, yeah, we had these swimming trials there. Again, the first swim trial in a football stadium. That's going to be the case in 2028 in Los Angeles at SoFi Stadium. So I asked Scott to write about that. He'll be doing some WWE columns. Again, they just did a deal where they're going to be the future home of the Royal Rumble, SummerSlam, and WrestleMania. And again, yeah, listen, if the Sparks or Las Vegas are playing Caitlin Clark, he'll be covering that. So listen, we are growing. Now, we're not going to cover the city as a whole, but Scott's just going to be out there to help us out.
Lots of pieces on Spicy Shrimp Cocktail. So there he is. There he is, Arash Mirkazi, Mr. LA, Mr. Vegas, Mr. Indy, Mr. Hawaii. Who got the shot? Who got the shot of the USA women's water polo team hanging with Flavor Flav? Where did that come from?
It came from a good friend, a source in San Diego, who said this is going to be a picture that you might like. So nice. Flavor Flav there, supporting Team USA in San Diego.
Okay, we've been ranking events here in town. I don't know what you're here covering. You do have a beautiful palatial residence here on the north end of the Strip. Are you here? You said Fountain Blue NHL Draft. Are you here for the NHL Draft? Are you covering UFC 303? Are you doing Copa America? Are you doing Slap? Or is the answer, I'm doing all?
That's a good question. Doing it all, but, you know, this was originally the Conor McGregor, you know. So when Conor got pulled, I'll still be covering UFC, but that is going to drop down. I'm going to put the draft at the Sphere, first sports event at the Sphere, first live televised event from the Sphere. So I'm going to put that as number one, tomorrow night, Sphere, what that looks like. And then I'm going to try to, walk my way down to, the power trap at the Townsend Blue. So I'll be back here maybe tomorrow. We'll see if I can do both, but, yeah, listen, UFC with Conor McGregor would have been a lot bigger, but, obviously that drops down a notch.
Guys, you got 20 seconds. Quick. Go ahead.
Oh, I thought you said you.
No, I was saying me quick.
Okay,
you.
Okay. Speaking of the Fontainebleau, I'm trying to say it right. I have no idea if I just did. I heard that there's slot machines that take debit cards over there. Is that correct, or am I completely off base?
I saw one, but I cannot confirm or deny that, but I will do some homework here on my way out.
Stay away, Arash. Stay away.
Oh.
That's all I'm saying.
All right, Arash. We'll see you, buddy.
All right, see you guys. Bye.
And he's got the Sporting Tribune. You draw a little money out of the true value of the Sporting Tribune.
Oh, what if you gamble?
All of a sudden, the site goes down on Saturday.
Yeah, you gamble with a company credit card.